if you really want to close more sales and you really want to close more deals, you really need to take a look at the information behind each sale that you make. And you could do that by looking at big data.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha and welcome to the How to Sell Show. Today's episode is coming to you live from Sacramento, California. Today I'm in my office sitting on the couch recording this episode, wishing I was in Hawaii. Today I want to talk to you about using data to sell. And this episode is going to be broken up really into two sections. There's going to be the your section, which is going to have some data, and then it's going to be some business section. And I really want to start with you first. And one of the best things that you can do, best things possible, is to keep your own journal. And there's a lot of reasons for this. Your own journal means that you own the data. Your own journal allows you to take a look and put some correlation to what's going on. Your own journal allows you to take your information with you if you leave a company. And one of the things that I see is when salespeople leave an organization, they no longer have access to their CRM. They have no longer have access to their data. And when I say journal, this could be an Excel file. This could be a written book. When I first started in sales in 2002, there was no real good CRM that was inexpensive. It was all business class. And today you could go online and you can find your own. There's plenty of them out there. You just type in CRM and 8,000 different websites pop up for you. There's two things that you really want to look at from the beginning: your best time to sell and your worst time to sell. Now, I would not ever really consider myself a morning person. There's people who like to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and go to the gym. I'll do it. It's just not my favorite thing to do. So I will tell you that my best time to sell was typically in the afternoon or the evening. My worst time for me to sell was first thing in the morning. Now, that's one thing to just wake up and say, hey, here's my best time to sell and worst time to sell. But like, time out, we got to use data. So I'm going to give you some of my numbers and you could try to figure out how to make this work for yourself. So when I did in-home sales, there was 3 appointments that I ran. There was like the 8 to 9, the 12 to 1, and then the 5 to 6. And I found that when I worked with people who were elderly and had nowhere else to be, the 8 to 9 and the 12 to 1 appointments, or that time zone, really did work. And the evening appointments did not work well for elderly people because they wanted to go to bed. They wanted to watch their TV show. And then conversely, the 8 to 9 appointment in the morning did not work well for couples because it was a what they call a one-leg appointment, meaning that it was just the husband there or the wife there or the significant other, whatever way you want to put it. And the same thing with the 12 to 1. But I found that the evening appointment, the 5 to 6, the 6 to 7, and even sometimes the 7 to 8 was pushing it, but the 7 to 8 was easier to close. And I found that through taking a look at my notes, I could pretty much say, hey, look, I either need to be at this appointment or I need to reschedule this appointment to the best of my ability. And sometimes this worked, sometimes it didn't. It wasn't that I was trying to not take an appointment. I was trying to use time to my advantage. Next on the list is you're going to want to reverse engineer times when you struggle. And you can only really do this from keeping some sort of personal journal. And you can only do this from taking your information and making it work for you. And there's going to be things that are obvious, like you're going to look for fights with a significant other, major issues in your life, losing something, losing someone, getting something new, a car, a boat, a house, going on vacation, winning an award. All these are major disruptions. I hear Tony Robbins say this, and I'm going to attribute it to him. It might be somebody else. Where focus goes, energy flows. Somebody else might have said it, but for right now, we're going to say it was Tony Robbins. And I see where salespeople start to struggle. Where they think they start to struggle isn't really the position where the problem began. It's usually about a week before. Sometimes it was the day before, sometimes it was the hour before, but it's usually a week. And if you could start putting a map together of saying, hey, look, I just went through something. I better pay attention to what's going on in my sales. I better keep my focus on my presentations. I better keep my focus on my clients. It's one way to make sure that you're closing deals. You know, one of the things that you could do is you could plot data points. And the more data you have, the better off you are. So there's data regression analysis. You could hire somebody that is a freaking NASA scientist to do this for you, but you got to be able to give them the information. You got to be able to say, hey, look, here are my appointment times. Here are my objections. Here are the amount that I sold the job, the product, the widget, the gizmo for. Here is the amount of time it took inside of the appointment for me to close the deal. I mean, there's four data points right there. I'm sure you could come up with about 15 more of them, but those are going to be the best four for you. And then what happens is this data scientist will take this information and they'll plug it into analysis and they'll build you a scatter chart and say, here's the best time for you. Here's the worst time for you. Here's the correlation between the objections that you get and the time that you get them. And I've had people go, hey, Scott, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous to put this together. And I'm like, absolutely ridiculous to not put this information together. You know, if you could do this for an entire sales team and put that information and say, here's my best person to sell in the morning, and this is my worst person to sell at night, and conversely, this is my worst person to sell in the morning and my best person to sell at night. Like, you really want to close deals and you want to make things happen, use some data to your advantage. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, it's a waste of money. I'm like, okay, let's just talk. You could get a top-rated scientist who's really good at this, and they're going to charge you, let's say, $250 to $1,000. And if you make $100,000 a year, you're paying 1% of your income to find out the best data about you, the best times for you to sell. I mean, people do this with sports. They look at their favorite players, and they look at their stats. I mean, this is your version of stats. Why would you not take the time to do this? And nobody ever really points this out. Nobody ever says this is how you use it. And there are some really good CRMs out there. And if you dig through enough of the reporting, you might be able to figure this out. And if you have that good reporting, why would you not use it? Why would you not use it to your advantage or your company's advantage if you're a manager or business owner? Places that I tend to see people struggle and not really think about it are around the holidays. You know, there's emotional times. Like, I'm coming up on my dad's second anniversary of his death. And if I was out in the field selling full-time, I'd want to be cognizant of that week before and after the anniversary. So I mean, if somebody you've been lost, may have been lost in your life, you know, you might want to take a look at that. Wedding dates, anniversary dates, problems with the family, fights with significant others, types of people that you meet with, how much exercise you've gotten and the type of food you've been eating. These are all things that really do correlate. So, I mean, if I was going to add one more column out of the four that I gave you for time on call, the time of the call, the amount it sold for, the objection that I got, I'd put exercise in there. I would absolutely put exercise in there. I'd make like there's five columns right there. Now let's take a look at some of the buying issues that you have going on. So one of the things that's not really talked about, so let's talk about some buyer's issues. I recently met with a really well-known CRM company, and one of the data inputs that I shared with them that really needs to be in their product is time on call, or TOC. And the reason why this is important is because if a company can gather a whole bunch of data points and they can look and say, hey, this salesperson was on a call for 90 minutes and they closed the deal. This person was on a call for 2 hours and 45 minutes and they lost the deal. There's some things that could be attributed to that. It's not saying that the information is conclusive, but it does leave some clues. And so that's one of the cool things about having some data points is it does leave clues. And the reason I gave you 90 minutes and 2 hours and 45 minutes is those were my traditional times inside of a home when I was doing in-home sales. At 90 minutes, I knew I could close the deal. At 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes, I was going to lose that deal. And I would run out of things to say that would keep me from getting out of trouble. You do get tired in a presentation. And I run into this. It's not that I couldn't talk. It's not that I shouldn't talk. It's that I started saying stupid things. You know, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian at one point in my life. And at 2.5 hours, I lose attention span. At 2.5 hours, I'm like, okay, I'm out of things to talk about. It's funny time. And I would say the stupidest stuff and I would lose deals and I would get cancellations and I would get complaints. My numbers are not going to be your numbers. So I talked to the CRM company. I said, hey, look, you know, you have millions of data points and the ability to put in best practices and the ability to say, this is where these numbers should be. So if you have somebody who consistently closes deals and you could track their numbers and you can multiply that times a whole bunch of different people, you could come up with best standards and you could have a dashboard that says, hey, your salesperson or the salesperson for the company was not on TOC, time on call, long enough, or your salesperson's in danger zone because there's a possibility for them being on the call too long. And they were like, we never thought of that. And I said, well, I'm a data guy. I'll think about what happens with this stuff. You know, you could also set expectations on what it's going to take for an appointment. If you know that your average appointment is 90 minutes, you're going to be able to tell your prospect, your buyer, hey, look, this normally takes me about 90 minutes. On the extreme side, it could take 2.5 hours. And like that question comes up, how long is it going to take? Well, how do you know that? Well, I don't know. I've put this across 10,000 appointments, and I know this is pretty normal for me. You know, you can get back to, for a whole company or even for yourself, the best time of a day to sell or the worst time to say day to sell. You could take that information and you could slice it up even further and put the average sale based upon the day or the time slot. You could say, hey, if I go to an appointment at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday, I could say that it's worth this much money. If I go on a Wednesday evening, it's worth this much money and I have a probability of closing it. Like, it doesn't mean that that's going to be the truth. It just means that you have a higher propensity to make a deal happen or a lower propensity to make a deal happen. You could put in this chart how soon before a call you eat or how soon after a call you eat for closing the deal. Because if you're like, there's nothing worse than being really hungry in a sales call and like your stomach growling. I mean, it makes you hungry to close the deal, but like, you know, your mind isn't in the game. And there's all sorts of medical technical terms that I'm not going to even claim to be a biologist. Like I got pretty good grades in biology, but I'm not a biologist. Okay. So you're going to want to consult with a doctor and their information on, you know, times that you eat, but it could have some correlation and it could not. Like, you could look at this and go, this has nothing to do with me. Okay, well, we removed one piece of the puzzle for you. It had nothing to do with you. But how much sleep did you get the night before? That's something you could put in there. You know, like, people don't really think about this. You could put how much of a discount you gave in order to close the sale. And, you know, when I was managing salespeople, I would know who the closers were because on average in the industry, they had somewhere around a 6.5% discount rate across the board. I knew who the posers were because they would be closer to 20 to 25. They were price matchers and they were discounters. And if you know what your average discount is in order to get a sale, you know where you're at. And you know, like, depending upon how commission structures are or based upon discounts, like, this really does matter. Where you are in the week, the month, and the quarter also can give you some data. You know, buyers can use this to their advantage. They know that salespeople, as they reach towards the end of a quarter, are more willing to take a bigger discount to close the deal. This is one of the reasons why you got to pay attention to how big of a discount you're giving and when you're giving it. You know, one of the things you could take a look at is the number of follow-ups that you make in a week, a month, and a quarter, and correlate those calls. I knew from my numbers that every 7.5 phone calls for me equaled a deal. And that didn't mean it was straight line math, meaning every 7.5 phone calls I made a deal happen. It could have been that I made 21 phone calls and I didn't get any sales and then the next three closed. It, you know, the math is not like instant every 7.5 deals, here's a close. It was just, I was persistent. I knew when to follow up. I knew my days and my times. For me, I had two days that I would follow up. Tuesday nights, about 5:45 to 6 o'clock. Friday mornings at 8 a.m. and Friday afternoons at 2:30. So those 2 days netted the most amount of results for me. And I didn't bother to follow up on Mondays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays because I knew they didn't do anything for me. And once again, my information is not going to be your information, but you could start figuring out days and times that are best to follow up for you or for your industry. The other thing to take a look at is how often you access your CRM. You know, if you're not looking up your data and you're not looking up your information, you're really missing out. There's skills that you have to close sales, but there's also ways for you to figure out the best times and the best applications to use your sales skills. And one of those is using big data.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.